Hernandez.
I'm Brian Keller.
And we are live at Tech Ed Orlando.
Whoa!
All right, so it's been a really exciting week here at Tech Ed, developers.
Yeah. Developers.
This is the first time they've split it up in the U.S. between the two events, the developers this week and the IT pros next week.
Yeah, so thank God we don't hang out with those IT pro people.
I know. I mean, I love them, but they wouldn't really have a job if it wasn't for the developers, right?
You know, I'm not saying developers have a lot of more personal hygiene, but just slightly more than
slightly,
IT pro.
Slightly, just
yes.
Eking it out. Yes.
Very, very fine line.
What's your favorite thing been this week?
That's a very good question. It's always cool seeing Bill G.
Oh, yeah.
At an event. And for me, obviously, it was being able to interview Bill G. I'm not going to be able to top that.
Yeah, so. You've been name-dropping all week. We get it.
Bill G. Yeah. I don't know if you know this. I'm, like, checking into the hotel. You know who's talking to Bill G later? Me.
Yep.
She's like, I don't speak English. I don't know.
So what's next? What do we have here?
Tell me, what's been your favorite moment?
Well, actually, my favorite part of Tech Ed this week has just been the fact that it's all about developers. And, you know, normally we have to share the message with the IT pros, but this week everybody you talk to really understands Visual Studio and a lot of the enhancements that we're making and a lot of the announcements we've been making this week. So it's been a great talking to everybody here.
Yeah, very cool stuff. And, you know, it was very cool. I actually got to do a Coding for Fun session.
Oh, that's right. You had a packed house, didn't you?
Yeah, so it was a packed room, and everything, all my demos worked, which is always like a small miracle.
Wow. Yeah.
Especially
and the fact
me.
That you're bragging about that now means none of your demos will work in the future. So don't
tempt
fate. Yeah,
exactly. I've already burned my fate. So.
Exactly, yeah.
So one of the things we start off with was announcements. So one of the big ones was Silverlight 2 Beta 2.
Of course. You can go get it now, right?
Yeah, they announced it in the keynote and available for download. So
excellent.
Number of enhancements, plenty of stuff to play with.
Yep.
And actually, one of the things we'll do is obviously Bill Gates and Soma, our man that runs DevDiv, talked about this. But the first clip we're going to show is a clip of me interviewing Bill Gates.
Yeah, we get it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I heard.
Okay. Yep. So I don't know if you knew. I just want to make sure again if you forgot. But getting his opinion on Facebook. So let's go to the, see?
Nice.
See?
All right, let's check it out.
Let's check it out. So some of the other interesting aspects, we've seen development really being focused on client web, and then we're seeing sort of the gadgetization, if you will, where people are using, say, building Facebook applications or applications for Windows Live Spaces. I'm curious, what's your thought on Facebook as a site? I know there was that one story where you had actually deleted your profile, had 8,000 friend requests a day, and obviously a popular guy. What's your general view on Facebook and Facebook application development?
Well, social networking is a very big deal, and I know there'll be many of them out there, some that are more business-oriented, some that are more media-oriented. Facebook's been very popular. In fact, Microsoft's worked with them on some of the ad platform things. It actually hasn't worked for me personally just because the number of people who were disappointed that I wasn't making them their friend was so large that I decided, hey, you know, every time I come on, there's just more than I can possibly go through. And, you know, it does suggest over time understanding different types of relationships that people have. We're going to have to do that in Outlook. We're going to have to do that in Live ID. We're going to have to do that in Xbox Live. All these issues of how software represents your relationships, there's still more innovation to be done because you don't want the same information necessarily for your parents, as your friends at school, as your friends in your motorcycle club. You know, it's just different. And I'm sure that software will be able to capture that as we experiment with these sites and interfaces and try out new things. So, you know, it's great to see that people are platformizing stuff. We've always believed in that. We'll make sure our tools are there and let people do neat new things. A lot of those websites behind the scenes are great users of our tools. I know MySpace achieved their scale by using a pretty pure Microsoft platform from SQL all the way up to .NET.
Yeah, absolutely. You think about one of the largest websites, they have, I don't know, 3 to 5% of the traffic on the internet, and it's all using Microsoft technology.
So there you have it. I guess the rumors are true then about Bill having to quit Facebook because he just has too many friends, right?
Yeah, too many people want to be friends with Bill Gates.
That's awesome. Good stuff. Nice interview.
Yeah.
That was you, right, interviewing Bill Gates?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if
I didn't
you
catch
know
that.
Yeah, I had to tell your mom. She didn't know. I thought you would have told her, but I had to tell your mom.
Let's leave my mom out of this. But anyway, so speaking of interviews, you've been interviewing a lot of people here at TechEd.
Yes.
A lot of, what are you calling them, sound bites or developer bites? Or
Yeah, get it. So trying a different format for videos, like quick 3-minute clips of people, as well as the typical, longer form, more conversational. But a lot of times the people giving sessions, they'll give some badass demo. Somebody that's didn't go to their session will never be able to see that demo. So the goal is to be able to show that and do it,
bring
real
it
quick.
To the masses.
Yes, quick, simple, easy, 3-minute videos.
So one of those interviews was with Rafael over in from TechEd Europe, who always gets the number one score over there.
Yes.
Right? Did
yes.
you ask him about that? Did you find out how he does it? Did you just pay everybody? What's the deal?
So check this out. So he's like a BI data warehouse guy, a data mining guy.
Okay.
He takes all the session information from these actual events and he mines it. So he can tell you which days will get better scores for each session.
No way.
Yes, he's done everything. All the different comments.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm like, he really does the art of studying.
He's walking proof of what he's marketing, really.
Yeah. So I hate him.
Nice.
he's the nicest, coolest guy.
Yeah.
So what we're gonna do is go to a quick clip of me, and this is actually a longer interview.
Okay.
Of me just talking to him, and he can talk about some of the stuff that he's working on in relation to data mining.
Let's check it out.
So this is called predictive programming. And it's a fairly innovative approach which allows your application to make logical decisions without having any rules encoded by you. This is typically used for three areas. You can do business process validation, input validation, or you can build an adaptive user interface. So just to take input validation as an example, every application has to check input against hundreds or thousands of rules. So as a developer, you code those rules, and you have lots and lots of code which says that if on this entry screen the value of the age is smaller than 1 or greater than 120, then do that. Mm-hmm. And then you say, if this screen says male and the person is a daughter, then flag it as an error, and so on and so on and so on. Mm-hmm. So what you can do now with predictive programming is throw all of this out. It's unnecessary code, and I can even venture to say probably something like 50% of input validation code can be thrown away.
But what about defensive programming? What would you say to defensive programming? So you make sure that you're actually checking your inputs so somebody doesn't try and...
Yeah, so you're absolutely right. There's two types of validation that you do. There's validation for security and there's validation for correctness.
Okay.
The validation for security, you probably need to code to some extent the rules. Now the validation for correctness, for improved customer experience, basically so the application doesn't fail because of inconsistent data, you don't need to code. What you do instead is you mine your transaction log or your application log or just a database of customers.
Mm-hmm.
And what SQL Server Analysis Services data mining will do for you is find a model, a pattern that describes what's correct and what's not. Mm-hmm. What your application then does is it takes the input from that screen, field by field taken from the form, you build a query, and you ask data mining engine just one question. What's the case likelihood? In other words, what's the probability that this data matches my known pattern? And it tells you, for example, 1%. Mm-hmm. Then you know you have suspicious entry.
Sure.
And you can actually then go back to the engine and say, which of the fields on the screen are the most suspicious? And it says, well, it's gender, because someone marked male for, say, a daughter, which doesn't work.
Sure.
And that approach means that instead of thousands of lines of code, you just need one if. Build a query and run it as a prediction.
All right, interesting stuff from Rafael. I guess he's going to have to do even more data mining now to keep that edge on top of everyone else that now knows his secrets, right?
Yeah, we're going to have to pull his data mining stuff, so
Nice. So we've heard a lot about languages this week. Bill Gates was talking about F#. There were a couple sessions on F#.
Yeah.
Also, Iron Ruby. Slashdotted this week, right?
Yes.
So you talked to Mr. Iron Ruby himself, John Lamb, right?
Yes. Yeah. So one of the interesting things is John Lamb had a demo of something called TryRuby, which is a site. So the way it works is it's a Ruby interpreter on the web where you type something in, you click enter, it actually sends that Ruby code to the server where it executes and shows you the results. So you can say 1 + 1 It'll send that. It'll actually execute on the server and go back.
Oh, sweet.
So what John's done, well, so here's the thing. It's got every single request has to go to the server.
Right.
We have Silverlight. That means it can live on the client. So on Iron Ruby, they've rebuilt that. And this is one of the things John shows is that same try Ruby experience all on the client. So like rather than, you know, killing your server performance-wise, the performance is being taken on every single machine. So if you have a million users, it's not a million hits to your website. It's a million hits only once to pull that page down.
Right, and then everything executes locally.
Yeah, and it's all using dynamic Silverlight 2.0 on the browser.
Nice. We should do the same thing for JSharp and OOKSharp and Lolcode and all those other languages that everyone's just dying to learn.
JSharp is dead, okay? JSharp.
Okay. All right. Still in therapy about the whole thing, so
yes.
Just take it easy.
So speaking of randomness, Sin City, one of my favorite movies.
Yes.
Great movie.
Yes.
You know, have you seen it?
No.
Okay. Good. This is gonna be. Have you seen Pleasantville?
No. Oh, that's the black and white one that goes color.
So it has like these tinges of color, and Sin City has the same thing where like it'll be a shot of a woman in black and white, except her lipstick will still be red, and it's like this great
effect.
Got
it. Yep.
Or like her eyes will still be blue.
Yep.
But enough about blue eyes.
Where are we going with this?
So Stephen Tobe was showing an example of the parallel framework, and he's built this really cool visual application. What it does is you load up a picture, a color picture, you pick a color, it'll make everything else black and white.
So
he has this floral picture, and you'll only keep, say, the red tinge of the color, everything else goes black and white. So it's a really cool effect, and what we'll do is load up this demo so people can see it in action.
Awesome.
If you've seen the movie Pleasantville, it has this concept of a scene being in black and white, and then certain images kind of sticking out in color. So I'm just going to pick an image here from the Vista sample pictures, this nice flower scene. And the idea is we want to be able to select a color like all the reds and have just the reds remain in color.
That's gorgeous.
Or just the greens remain in color. But if you notice, when I click around, I have this progress bar that pops up. And with multi-core, many-core, with all this extra computing power, we can enable new experiences such that maybe you don't even need to display a progress bar. So I'm going to turn on the parallel mode. And now if you notice, the progress bar just sort of appears and disappears. There's really no need for it anymore because it's happening so quickly.
That's awesome.
If I look at the code for this, the only difference in the code was for the parallel version, I'm using this parallel for. And for the sequential version, I'm just using my typical for loop. So I had to change this one line of code, and I got an instant speed up.
That's awesome. And you can also select colors, right?
Absolutely. In fact, you can select more than one color. So if I wanted to load up an image, like a picture of me lying on a lawn, I could select both the grass, and we wait for this to compute, and my shirt color. So now we get both my shirt in blue and the grass in green. And you saw the progress bar again. And in fact, if I'm operating on a system that just has a tablet, or that has tablet functionality, I could select only an area that I was interested in. So I'm just interested in this area here. And it computes and computes and computes. And again, it takes quite a long time to figure out what it's doing. If I want to enable the parallel mode, you'll see this just fly much faster as it's progressing through all this.
That is awesome. Now, one of the other interesting aspects, you know, you saw in Steven's videos a parallel framework, but there's a lot of technology, but the interesting aspects are what actually happens at the show. How do you get a vibe, a pulse of what's actually going on?
Unless you're here, right? It's kind of its own unique little environment, right?
Luckily, we have Laura. So Laura went around talking to everyone. You know, she's running around. You got some hilarious videos. So what we're going to do is show a quick montage of Laura, so you get a feel of what it's like to actually be a tech ed for those of you not here.
Nice.
So let's go to the clip.
What's the first thing you do when you get to work in the morning? Do you start coding?
No, I don't.
Agile, actually.
And what? Can you spell that?
A-G-I-L-E.
Today I was attending some of the SQL Server tracks, all the SQL tips and tricks on Transact SQL, how to write some simple code, how to do some complex things with common table expressions and XQuery.
What's a complex thing?
No, it's not that complex, actually.
I'm going to go with the static fields, object references, and local variables. No. How about objects, nullable value types, and arguments?
Wrong.
So what else is better about 2.0 other than 3.5? Whatever is better about what they taught you in the class today?
Oh, no, no.
All night this has been keeping me up. How would you improve startup time in a WPF application?
I'm dying here. I'm tanking completely.
That's a good question. I don't really know the answer to that.
Yeah, you know, I came here to Tech Ed. I thought that I could finally get these questions answered, but maybe I got to go to C++ person to get the answers. That's what I'm saying.
Well, you know what I'd probably do is not use WPF.
Oh, it hurts my heart.
I didn't think you could get to work in .NET 2.0.
No, how would you have gotten it to work in the past before you knew that?
I would have moved to .NET 3.5.
Oh, right, right. 0, 1, 2, or 3? 2? Is that right?
That's correct.
That's correct! Oh, God. I love multiple choice. Okay, come here. Now that I've spent some time with these developer creatures, I've learned a couple things about their culture. First, wearing socks and sandals, totally cool. I can't wait to go back and tell everybody what I've learned.
So some pretty funny stuff from Laura. Glad to have her on Channel 9.
Definitely.
Getting the pulse of what's actually going on for developers and the fashion sense, obviously.
That's right. And speaking of Channel 9.
Yes. Everybody
watching.
I can't
believe we haven't talked about this yet.
I know.
Yeah. Version 4
baby.
Has released. So there were some hiccups at the beginning of the week, but everything seems to be rolling really smoothly now.
I know those guys. I'm not sure they've actually slept.
I don't think so.
Dev team.
Yeah.
Shout out to those guys. They've been working their butts off to get this to happen.
So. Yeah. My favorite feature.
Yes.
So you can go to the shows. So you can go to our This Week on Channel 9 show, and
yes.
You can now subscribe to the RSS feed, which has attachments for the MP4, the Zune, or just the standard WMV version of the files.
Yes.
So you can check that out. Any favorite features for you?
Sorry, random people. So the nice things that I really like are the publishing. So you can easily publish via Windows Live Writer stuff. So
right.
It makes my life as somebody creating content that much easier.
Yeah, because our audience cares if your life is easier.
And we get all the goodness.
I think that's
I think that's it from every
this week on Channel 9, live from Tech Ed 2008.
Booyakasha!